Hello and welcome to the Garage Series for IT Pros, where we talk about the toughest questions you have for the new office. My name is Jeremy Chapman.
And I'm Yoni Kirsch. Last week, we concluded our three-part series on deployment and configuration.
Right, and today we go into software update management in this new click-to-run world. We're going to go beyond the default settings about taking automatic updates.
And we gear up for another extreme install. We've already done air, now land.
Bring in engineer Jefferson Criddle again for another in-depth interview about the tools.
But first, this week's trivia.
How frequently are updates checked for and when? Is it A, once per day, B, two times after login and at 3 a.m. every other day, or C, bi-weekly?
Stay tuned to the end of the episode for the answer. So we've changed the update model in terms of how we are servicing Office. So we have two different paths. We can either service Office 2013 with MSP files like you're used to, and we've also basically reimagined how servicing works in a click-to-run world. I spoke with Jefferson Criddle earlier to explain. So what was the thinking behind the new update model with click-to-run?
For updates in click-to-run, we wanted to make it really easy for our end users and also easy for our IT Pro customers. For our IT Pro customers, we want to give them the level of control they need to manage who gets the updates and when. For the end users, we want them to get the updates as easily and seamlessly as possible with minimal disruption.
So in terms of, you know, if you're used to MSP files, WSUS, Windows Update, how does the control side of this compare with that world?
Mm-hmm. So click-to-run is based on different technologies, based on application virtualization. And this means the traditional methods, such as MSPs through Microsoft Update or using WSUS, will not work with click-to-run. However, we've taken this as an opportunity to rethink how we can more easily get these monthly updates that we produce to our customers as fast as possible, while giving IT pros the level of control that they need. We think that this lays a foundation for a versionless world where our Office customers, by default, automatically have the latest capabilities and service fixes.
So let me explain how the new update model works. So basically, again, taking that kind of imaging approach, if we have one build here, let's say this is the current build for January or February, we have a second build as well that's going to be maybe the month later build or a couple months later. Essentially what we have is a bunch of like binaries between the two builds. Let's say that 80% of the builds are the same, right? So you've got maybe a month or two variance between the two different builds, and the only things that are different are really the smaller section here. So all we have to do now with click-to-run how we're doing services is the differential files, the deltas between those two builds. So instead of having to transfer that entire 1 gigabyte payload, I'm only taking the bits and pieces that I actually need to update that build from one version to the next. What Office actually does is it takes all of what's on the computer. There's about 1,900 components. It then compares those to what I'm trying to give it and only takes the differences between the two. So in terms of the different updating options that we have, we can also determine which sources we want to run the updates from. So by default, we actually use the cloud, so we will go from the CDN. Similar to how we do the installation of Office, we can choose where we're installing from, CDN or maybe our own path. Or we can go to maybe something that's a private path. So we can go to, for example, an SMB share or an HTTP path that we're owning as well. So basically, I can determine through my setup and my XML file how I configure Office whether or not we go to the public cloud to get updates or whether or not we go to the private cloud. Now, one important thing as to how that engine works is we're looking for a file in 32-bit Office that's called v32.cab. And essentially, we're going up and comparing the v32.cab of what's installed on the computer and what's there. Otherwise, we can specify a version in the XML, and it will install that different version. Now, there's one other option in terms of how we can do updates, which is basically disabling them completely. And essentially, we'll have to rerun setup in order to go to a newer build. So let's say we've turned off updates, and 3 months later, we've tested and validated a new build. Then we're going to rerun setup. And that's actually going to then use the same type of approach where we look at what's there, look at what we're trying to give it, and it's only going to take the deltas in that case as well. So you've got System Center or something like that, you might want to use the rerun setup approach in order to update Office. So Yoni, you're going to show us a demo of what the updates actually look like running.
Yeah, sure. No problems, Jeremy. So let me kick that off. I've got my machine here that has an Office 365 build on it, and I'll just jump into Word really quickly and show you that the build we have on here ends in 1004. Now, the process for updating this using the automatic updates is surprisingly simple. Really, all that runs here is a scheduled task, which I'll show you now. So the scheduled task has two triggers that set it off. The first trigger is at logon, so each time you log onto the computer, it will go and check for updates. The second trigger runs three times a week. So if I go and run this scheduled task now, that will kick it off out of band, and we can see the process take place. Now, as Jeremy said, we're able to do Delta level updates. That allows us to get the new build of Office without having to download all the bits from scratch. And if we jump back into Word, we can see straight away, having run that process, that we now have the newer build on there, 1511. So Jeremy, I'd also like to show everybody how that compares to the software updates based process that you described as well. So I'll jump here very quickly back onto our Config Manager server that we saw in a previous episode. And the process here is equally simple. All we need to do is grab the updated binaries that we downloaded from the CDN and load them into our package source for our SCCM package. Now, we just need to make sure that we skip those files, otherwise we'll overwrite the v32.cab file and that's going to cause us a problem. We have to update our distribution point so that we get those new binaries into the package itself. And I'm just going to jump over onto our client. So here we are in our client. We can see that we have build 1004 again here. And what you can see is that once the process runs, and that's going to happen silently because we've configured it as a required update, that the new version is installed. And when I jump back into PowerPoint, we can see that the 1511 build is installed. And of course, once again, we only needed to download the delta of those two versions, which saves us on network traffic. Right, Jeremy?
Yeah, speaking of traffic, I think you hit some in today's extreme install. Explain.
Yeah, we did. We went out, we got the fastest car we could, and we thought we'd see if we could get a click-to-run install done before hitting Sydney traffic.
So it doesn't really matter how much horsepower a car has when it's stuck in traffic.
That was so painful, Jeremy.
Right, so we've talked about a lot this week. We've talked about how the software update engine works in Click to Run. We've talked about the various components, how to change the default settings. And also, we answered our trivia question.
How frequently are updates checked for and when? Is it A, once per day? B, two times after login and at 3 a.m. every other day? Or C, bi-weekly?
Of course, the answer was B, the automatic updates run a few times a week.
Right, so I wanted to thank Jefferson Criddle for our special guest coming on board to talk about the engineering decisions behind the tools.
Mm-hmm. And next week, we're talking about user provisioning. And also, we have another extreme install for you. We've done air, we've done land. Next, water.
Awesome. So bye for now, and thanks for watching.